We're turning this evening to the Old Testament and to the book of Isaiah for our scripture reading, please. Isaiah in the chapter 12. Only six verses in this chapter, so we'll read it all together. Isaiah chapter 12. Let's give diligence in the reading and the hearing of the Word of God, remembering that it is God's Word that we are reading, and not just the words of man. So Isaiah chapter 12, and the verse number 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, he also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the reading of his word. It's the words of verse number 3 that we want to consider this evening as we come to God's word. Verse 3, it says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." We want to look at the subject this evening of the wells of salvation. The wells of salvation. With the Word of God open before us, can we just still our hearts, please? And let's pray that the Lord would speak tonight as we come around his Word. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us. We rejoice, O God, that in thy presence there is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And Heavenly Father, tonight we pray that we will know that increasing sense of thy presence amongst us. We pray, Lord, that tonight you'll come and take the Word of God and apply it by faith to all of our hearts, we pray. Heavenly Father, we realize just how much we need thee afresh. And O God, therefore, we claim the help of God the Spirit in the preaching, but also in the hearing of thy Word. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll open blinded eyes. Lord, for those tonight whose ears have been stopped to the message of the gospel, we pray, Lord, that tonight you'll still work in hearts and work in lives. And Lord, that as we go through this message tonight, that the power of God will fall upon this gathering. And Lord, that the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit, will be at work. Lord, we pray for conviction. We pray for conversion. We pray, Lord, that this night, sinners will come to the well of salvation, and there they will be fully satisfied. Hear and answer prayer. Work on, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 12 is a chapter full of praise and thanksgiving to God for his faithfulness in the keeping of his promises and in the keeping of his word. And most especially so in the whole matter and in the whole economy of salvation. Of course, the name Isaiah itself means Jehovah is salvation. And Isaiah is the great evangelical prophet. It is Isaiah who rejoices and revels in the great salvation of the Lord. And once again, in this 12th chapter, Isaiah brings us to consider the wonders and the mercies of salvation. And he does so by use of word pictures. Because once again, the Holy Spirit turns our ears into eyes as he speaks to us about the wells of salvation. Of course, wells were a common feature in Bible days. All would have known exactly what was meant. And many would have used a well, if not on a daily basis, certainly on a regular basis. No pipes, of course, to pipe running water into homes at that time. And so, well would have been a very familiar story and account for all at that time. And so it is in this chapter of praise, in this hymn of praise in chapter 12, that Isaiah brings us once again to consider salvation and to consider all that salvation entails and involves. And so he speaks to us about the wells of salvation, as we read there in verse number 3. Because you see, when people would have come to those wells to draw water, they would have come with a need. They would have come to those wells because what they had of themselves was not sufficient. And they would have come seeking to draw water out of those wells in order to satisfy their need. And as they would have drawn water out of those wells, their need would have been met totally and perfectly. And you know, folks, what a wonderful picture and demonstration of salvation that is. Because tonight all of humanity has a need. Many needs, of course, are told to us today. We're told that we are in need of social improvement. We're told that we're in need of economic improvement. But the greatest need tonight of the human heart has got nothing to do with society. The greatest need tonight of the human heart has got nothing to do with material possessions or wealth. The greatest need tonight of the human heart is spiritual. Because all are born in sin. And all are separated from God because of that sin. And the greatest need tonight of the human heart is to be reconciled to God and to be cleansed and for that sin to be covered. Our greatest need tonight is not physical, it's not good health, it's not temporal, it's not about a comfortable or a pleasant life. Your greatest need tonight is the need of salvation. Because you see, this book has been dealing with the problem of man's heart. Isaiah, right from the very outset, has been dealing with the problem that has plagued humanity from Eden right to eternity, and it's that problem of sin. And right in the very opening words of this prophecy, in chapter number 1, he confronts the problem of humanity. He was a faithful prophet, and he calls the people a sinful nation there in Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 4. And then he goes on a few verses on down in that same chapter, and he speaks about the control and the contamination of sin. And he says that from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness thereof, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It all speaks about the controlling, contaminating power of sin. And you see, folks, it's that plague of sin that has affected each and every one of us. We're all born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And as Paul, writing to the church at Rome, put it so well and put it so eloquently, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's an alien message tonight. Because there are those tonight, and those not too far from this building, and they will preach a gospel, but a gospel that is devoid of any mention of sin. But how can you preach a gospel that doesn't present to men and women why there is a need for the gospel? Why there is a need for men to be reconciled to God? Why is there a need for salvation? There's a need for salvation because man has the problem of sin. And tonight in this meeting, if you're still unsaved, still out of Christ, and you've never been saved, your greatest problem tonight is not the things of this world. Your greatest problem tonight is the state of your heart before God. Because you're lost. Your heart is darkened and blackened because of sin. And what you need tonight is this salvation that we will consider. What you need tonight is come to the wells of salvation and there draw water and there find peace and there find contentment. Because you see, just as the weary one would have come to the water to the wells to get water, so all who come to Christ and experience his salvation will go away satisfied. Tonight, if you're in this meeting without the Savior, if tonight finds you still in that state by nature, far from God, cut off from God, then tonight you need to come to these wells of salvation that we'll look at. Come and be saved. And come and be satisfied. As we think of the wells of salvation this evening, I want us to notice some aspects, some parts about these wells as I believe they are presented to us there in this chapter. First of all, I want us to notice here the defining of these wells. The defining of these wells. What is the prophet speaking about there? When he speaks about salvation, what is he speaking about? What is salvation? You'll notice in verse number 3 that he uses the plural there, and he says, draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, let me make one thing clear before we go any further. The prophet is not saying that there are multiple wells of salvation or multiple ways of salvation. Isaiah is not saying that there are many ways that you can be saved, that there's a way for one generation that's different to the way of this generation. Rather, what is in view there is the different aspects, all the different parts that go together to make up salvation. And it's those different parts that we want to look at as we seek to define these wells of salvation. First of all, I want you to see, as we seek to define these wells, the well of preparation. The well of preparation. You see, as we think of salvation, we think of the great plan of redemption. You think of the great plan that was in the mind of God whereby we could be saved. It was planned and prepared, not in time, but in eternity past. The great plan of redemption, this great salvation that Isaiah is making much of, not only here in chapter 12, but right throughout this entire prophecy, has been planned in the mind of a triune God from all eternity. That way whereby your sin and mine could be covered and cleansed, that way whereby we could be reconciled to God, that way whereby the wrath of God could be turned away, was all planned and prepared long before this world was ever created. Ever before there was a tree planted, God prepared a way that we might be saved. God planned a way to redeem your soul and mine from sin. What an amazing thought tonight, sinner, God thought upon you even before you were ever born and planned a way that you might be saved. God thought upon me before I was even thought about and planned a way whereby I could be reconciled to God. Does that not amaze your soul tonight? Do you not see how much value the Lord places on your soul that he planned a way that you might be saved? He prepared that way. You see, God's salvation and this way of redemption, it was not some afterthought of God. It was not some plan B. Salvation was always the only way that you and I could ever be saved. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, that didn't send God into some sort of spin and wonder, how are we going to work this out? When Adam fell from that state from which he was created of perfection and perfect holiness and righteousness toward God, even before then, God had planned a way. And God had prepared a way. It was always God's plan. Man did not frustrate it. Praise God tonight that Christ, the Lamb of God, who was foreordained from before the foundation of the world. Sinner, before you were ever born, God planned and provided a way that you might be saved. What a well of salvation tonight to think upon. Dear believer, tonight to ponder that reality and that truth. God planned a way that I might be saved. That in love and in tenderness, we might be brought to Him. There's the well of preparation. That's one aspect of this whole matter of salvation. But I want us to think about another well tonight, and not only the well of preparation, but I want us to think now about the well of crucifixion. Because God not only planned salvation, but furthermore, He provided salvation. And He provided salvation in the person and in the work of His dear Son. And here we're brought to the central, pivotal well of it all. We're brought to the well of crucifixion, the well of atonement. We're brought to a place outside the walls of Jerusalem. A place of cruelty, a place of hatred. A place of unimaginable pain and sorrow. A place where we see three crosses hanging and standing on a hillside. Oh, and those two outer crosses, those two criminals being put to death for crimes against society. But it is to that middle cross I want to turn your attention just now. Because on the middle cross I want you to see the planning of salvation that was planned from all eternity being put into action. Because there I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one who was innocent of all crimes. One who was without sin, one who could not sin. One who was taken by the cruel hands of the Roman soldiers and his hands and feet nailed to that middle cross, that crown of thorns pierced into his face. And see the brutality of man to the God-man. As the Lord Jesus Christ is spat upon, as He is reviled, as He's treated as the worst of criminals. And see there the Creator God enduring the scoffing and the scorning of His creation. See the Redeemer of His people, the only Savior for sinners. See Him there on the cross dying in agony. And then suddenly the sky being blackened and the whole earth being covered in blackness as God the Father turns away from God the Son. Because when man has done his worst, then the Father steps in. And as Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ being made sin for us. Christ there on the cross being made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. I hear some people say that Calvary was one of different ways, one of many ways that we could be saved. There are theologians today, and they'll write in their theology books that Calvary was one way. But that Christ really didn't have to die. My friend, today I tell you on the authority of God's word, Christ did have to die in order, as we'll see, to appease the wrath of an angry God. And there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. And as Jehovah lifted up His rod, O Christ, it fell on Thee, Thou wast sore stricken, all Thy God, there is not one stroke for me. That bitter cup Christ had to drink. Praise God, He drank it. And He satisfied it in full. Why? Why? He didn't die as a martyr. He died as the only Redeemer, because there was no other way that we could be saved. There was no other plan of salvation. What a well of salvation. Personally, for me, this is a well we will never, never be able to exhaust. And no matter how much you preach upon it, you'll never be able to preach it fully or properly. But thank God tonight for that well of crucifixion where Christ died, where he was made sin in order to accomplish this great salvation that Isaiah speaks about here in Isaiah chapter 12. See the love of God there. See the Father forsaking the Son. Why? That sinners like you and I could be saved. See there on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ enduring hell, enduring pain and suffering, being cut off, being counted amongst the transgressors. He was forsaken of God, sinner, that you might never be forsaken. He endured hell on the cross, sinner, that you might never go to hell. He paid the price that you can go away and walk away from this place tonight scot-free on your way to heaven. What a wonder of salvation. And then there is the well of satisfaction. Because you see, Christ didn't die in vain. Oh, I'm sure the Roman soldiers and all the authorities were rejoicing. When Christ died, he hung his head. They took his body off the cross, put it there in that borrowed tomb. But praise God, he didn't die in vain. Why? Because on the third day he rose triumphant over the power of sin, death, and hell. And he rose and he walked out of the grave in the power of his own resurrection. Why? As a vindication that the wrath of God, which he died to put away, had been satisfied. The Father demanded that his justice be satisfied. And that could only ever be met through the death of Jesus Christ. You and I can do nothing. None of our merits, nothing of ourselves, will ever be enough to appease the wrath of a holy God. I want you to see this very quickly here, and time is rushing on, in verse number 1. I want you to see this wrath being turned away. I want you to see this well of satisfaction in verse number 1. It says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me." Sinner, that is your state tonight. Whatever else, and whatever other station in life you're at, this is your state by tonight. God is angry with you because you're still in your sin and you're still separated. But notice the change then in the next phrase. Thine anger is turned away. Praise God tonight that through the death of Christ on the cross, Christ's anger and wrath for your sin is turned away. If you will come believing, come repenting, then his wrath is satisfied. And it's because of the well of atonement that there is now the well of appeasement and the well of satisfaction and the well of accomplishment. The anger of God is satisfied through and only through the finished work of Christ on the cross. Peace and satisfaction for sin is only found at Calvary. It's not found through anything that you can do. It's not found through anything that you have done or will yet do. It's all found through what Christ has already done and accomplished at Calvary's cross. Tonight, there is only one way of salvation. Tonight there is no other way to God. It's not through your human effort or your human endeavor. It's all through the wells of salvation that were planned, prepared, and provided by God. Let me ask you this evening before we move on. Have you by faith ever been to this cross? Let me ask it another way. What is it tonight? What is it tonight that you're depending upon for heaven? Now you say, I'm not really thinking upon those things just now. There's not one person in this meeting tonight, I believe, that doesn't want to go to heaven. But the problem is there are those who don't want to go the way of God's way. Those who don't want to go the way of the cross. When breath leaves your body and your soul takes its flight at the point of death, let me ask you tonight, where will you be 5 minutes after you die? And when your body is laid in the ground, where will your soul be? You see, tonight, before you're driven to the graveyard, make sure you've been to the cross. Have you ever been there? Have you ever, by faith, had your sins washed in the precious blood of Christ? This is the whole of salvation, planned by God in eternity past, provided at the cross, procured through His finished work. This is the whole economy of salvation. Nothing more and nothing less. There's the defining of these wells, but very quickly and very briefly, I want you to see as well the drawing from these wells, because verse 3 speaks about drawing. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well. You see, in order to benefit from what is in the well, you have to draw from it. And folks, tonight, in order to benefit from salvation, in order to experience God's forgiveness and God's pardon and all that is provided in salvation, you actually have to receive it for yourself. It's not enough that others are saved. Salvation is a very personal thing. You go to a well. We don't have many wells about today. But you go to a well and you need water. Will the well do you no good if you stand and look at the well all day and never actually draw anything from it? You'll never experience what the well has to offer until you actually draw out of the well. And sinner, tonight, you can stand and admire and wonder at God's salvation all day. And you can say your amens to all that the preacher says. But if you've never drawn from the well of salvation, it'll never do you any good. And the problem is you can be so close to being saved, and yet not actually being saved. And almost there. A few weeks back, we were thinking of the pitfalls of procrastination. And that man who was almost saved trembled under the weight of sin, almost there, but lost. Is that you? Oh, you don't disbelieve anything that's in the Word of God. You believe it with all of your heart. You believe that Christ is your only Savior. You know that there's only one way to heaven, but the problem is you've never actually, personally, savingly received this salvation. What does it mean to receive salvation? What does it mean to draw water out of the wells of salvation? Well, it's all tied up in those two words, faith and repentance. Faith's the easy part, isn't it? Oh, I believe. I believe. Well, as we pointed out a few weeks ago, the devils believe. But here's the hard part. It's the repenting. is the acknowledging and the owning up to your sinful life and the leaving of that old life behind. Faith and repentance. Turning from sin and trusting Christ. That's what it is to draw water out of the well of salvation. That's what it is for the anger of God to be turned away, to have abandoned your sin, to have admitted your guilt, your unworthiness, your sinfulness, and to cast yourself wholly, entirely upon the Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever drawn water out of the well of salvation? Are you saved tonight? Have you the experience of the new birth, not just an awareness, not just an understanding, but a personal, living, saving relationship with the Lord? Have you been to the well of salvation? Have you drawn water out of that well? That water, of course, speaking of Christ, we don't have time to go there. Because there's also, as we close this evening now, the delight because of the wells. The delight because of the wells, because look at verse 3, it says, therefore with joy, shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Maybe it is tonight, you're holding back from being saved. Maybe it is tonight that you're holding back from drawing from the well of salvation, giving your life entirely to the Lord, because there's just something in this world and you want to hold on to it and you don't want to let it go because you fear if you let it go that your life somehow would be empty. Something or someone. And they're holding you back. They're that barrier between you and the Lord tonight. I say this evening, you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you will never regret it. And anything that you might forsake and anything that you might have to give up, I can assure you the Lord will make it up to you. Because there is a joy in the knowledge of sins forgiven. There's a peace that this world cannot give. And praise God, there's a peace this world cannot take away. There is no peace like His peace. But we'll never know the peace of God until, first of all, we have peace with God. And how do we have peace with God? It's all through God's salvation. Isaiah is speaking here about a joy. A contentment. You see, there is a joy because salvation regenerates the darkened soul. There's a joy and a delight here because salvation revives the deadness of the sinner. And there's a joy because salvation refreshes the sin-sick, weary soul. We live in a nation tonight that's running headlong to hell. And in this city this evening, up and down the streets and avenues and laneways of this city, there are men, women, young people, older people running here, there, and everywhere, trying to find satisfaction. Trying to find some peace, trying to find something that will satisfy the yearning of their heart. And that yearning, that longing, can only ever be satisfied in Christ. And tonight, maybe you're running from God, and you're running away from the claims of the gospel in your life, because you fear that your life would be unfulfilled if you were really to step out for the Lord and get under the blood. If you were to be identified as a child of God, your fear that life just wouldn't be the same again. Well, you're right, life wouldn't be the same again. Because the Lord gives a salvation that satisfies. The psalmist said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Sinner, tonight, salvation will do you good. Christ will do your life good. Christ will do your family good. Christ will do your community good. David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And when you have Christ in your heart, you want nothing more, because he fully satisfies. That water in that verse speaks of refreshment and satisfaction and sufficiency. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Let me ask you tonight, are you rejoicing in God's salvation? Are you rejecting God's salvation? Have you drawn from the wells of salvation tonight? Or tonight do you despise those wells and believe you're good enough? I encourage you, I urge you, I plead with you. In the Lord's name, come. Come with joy and draw water out of the wells of salvation, and you will go away satisfied. This well is freely available to you tonight. It's without money, it's without price. Therefore, tonight, will you come? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Will you abandon your sin? Be done with the way of life you're currently living? And give up those things that's hindering you and holding you back from being saved. Will you this evening come and receive God's salvation? It's the greatest satisfaction, because it meets the greatest need of your heart. Tonight you can leave this meeting on your way to heaven. You can leave this meeting different from how you came in. Come in with God's anger and wrath still upon you. But by faith, receiving Christ as your Savior, you can go away and God's wrath turned away and be brought into the family of God. What's holding you back? What's keeping you back tonight? Listen, tonight, whatever it is, it's not worth it. Whoever it is, it's not worth it. You need to come personally. And you need to come urgently. And draw from the wells of salvation. Let's bow in prayer.